On the back of your bulletin, you have the scripture for today. Very familiar scripture to all of us from Matthew, the second chapter. This is the second Sunday of Advent, as you see with the candles, as you were instructed this morning as we listened to the words. This is a time of our preparing ourselves for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we always like to remind ourselves that this is the first Advent. The second Advent is on the way. We now await the second coming of our Lord. He's come once, he will come again. So in the meantime, there are things that we can do, things that we are to do, things we are to be. So what we're going to talk about today is what we as Christians can give. It's a time of giving. It's a time of receiving. But we're going to talk about what we can give. And of course, talking about that, natural to talk about the first gifts. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi, which traditionally are called wise men, from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. See, there was no question in their mind that there would be a Messiah, that there would be a king of the Jews. And so he wanted to know, where is this going to be? And they said, "In Bethlehem in Judea. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." That's from the prophet Micah. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Well, these are indeed the days right now when virtually everybody is thinking about gifts. There's just so many ways that we think about that, you just can't help it. Mailers in your mailbox every day, slick paper ads for gifts of all sorts, presented in multiple stores and by mail order. And newspapers are more full of gift advertising than they are of news. If you happen to watch television, and who doesn't watch at least an hour of television at least a day or a couple of days a week? Well, television appears to have more advertising than program time. And almost all of the ads right now are some kind of gift ads. That is, ads that aren't the latest about fads in medications. There's an awful lot of those. But they have gift ideas on your computer also. If you look there, Amazon, and you're familiar with these, Amazon, eBay, things like that. Walk in a store, even in a grocery store, and you're inundated with gift promotions. an idea is for a gift for all the members of your family and all of your friends. And the generous religious are being asked in this season for special gifts. People in foreign lands, for missionaries and people who aren't known to us, but ones that we want to give a gift to, like the shoeboxes, the gift shoeboxes that were solicited from us by the Operation Christmas Child that we love to do. So where did all this emphasis come from to promote gift giving at the end of every calendar year? We've been doing this for so long. I dare say so many people, maybe most, don't even think about that as a curiosity question. Where does this come from? We don't think about it. We just do it because that's what we do. Oh, that's what the stores tell us we do. Well, we who are Christians know the answer to why gifts. Even if we don't stop to pause for a moment and have some reflection on what is the reason that all of this got started. The first Christmas, actually very possibly December 25th, was unquestionably the greatest time of giving and has been ever since, every Christmas. Well, just a moment here, I want to explain why December 25th. By a complicated system that I have yet to quite figure out, the Roman Church, influenced at the time by the Christian Emperor Constantine, determined in 336 AD that the birth of Jesus occurred, interestingly enough, 9 months after the Feast of Annunciation, which was March the 25th, and that had been the determined time when Mary was visited by the announcing angel Gabriel and told that she would conceive through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll explain why that date was March the 25th. Historically, both Hebrew tradition and the early church had decided, and they believed, that the conception dates of the great prophets were determined by going back to the date of their death. In other words, if they knew the death of a great prophet, the date of that, then they could know the date of the conception of that prophet because it would be 9 months after that date on the calendar, just another year. Thus, the date of Jesus' birth, the date of Jesus' death becomes the determining factor for deciding the date of his conception and then 9 months later, the date of his birth. So the date of Jesus' conception was determined in AD 336 by the early church as the same as the date of his death. Well, we know Jesus died at the time of the Passover feast was always at the same time. It was always on March 25th before Passover and Easter began being moved around according to the phases of the moon. 9 months after March 25th was and is December 25th. And thus the date was set not by the date of a pagan holiday called Sol Invictus, as so many non-believers think and will say, but the date as really determined and set by the church. Now, I don't mean to give you that timeline as a way to confuse you, but rather to give the historical fact that December 25th has a Christian reason for being determined as the date of the birth of Jesus, and not a pagan holiday date being adopted as convenient by the church. Now, you'll hear that so many times. It's always voiced by non-Christians. So, now, here we are, centuries later, and we celebrate this end-of-the-year time as the Christmas holiday, Christmas. the birth of Jesus the Christ, observed at the beginning as King of the Jews, now as King of Kings. When people approach royalty, when people come to the king, they come bearing gifts. Well, now we're back to gifts. All right, kind of roundabout way to get there, but we are back to gifts. And as we've just read in our text for today, when Jesus was born, wise men from the east brought him gifts. Gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All that became symbolic of his life and death ahead of him, they were the best gifts money could buy. The shepherds didn't bring material gifts, but they brought the gift of their faith. All that they had to offer and give, but oh, so rich faith in response to the angel's announcement. Luke 2, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. The angel speaking to the shepherds. He is the Messiah. He's the Lord. You know, all Jews of those days, even lowly shepherds, knew that the promised Messiah would be from the royal line of King David. And they brought the gift of that faith to visit this new king. So you have the wise men, you have the shepherds. Well, Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph brought the gift of their whole lives. They committed themselves to God's plan, even though they didn't really fully understand it. Mary, who was told that her son would be born a king, well, her life was her gift to give. Her life was her gift to present to God. Luke 1, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And so, ready to give her life as her gift, she replied, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Joseph was presented with a huge problem. A pregnant wife-to-be, not his baby, before the consummation of their marriage. But he was told what had come about, that the coming child was of the Lord, and his name revealed that he would save his people. And so Joseph was told in a divine dream to continue his relationship with Mary, to take her home to become his wife. And Scripture tells us the following. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. You see, Joseph gave his gifts of faith and obedience. Others had gifts. Elizabeth and Zechariah, parents of the one who is later to announce the presence of the Messiah, the King of Kings. Elizabeth gave the gifts of honor and glory to God and to Mary as she said, blessed are you among women, blessed is the child you will bear, saying that to Mary. Her husband, the priest Zechariah, when he had finally regained his voice, gave the gift of praise to God for the coming birth of Israel's Savior King. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he had come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. The word horn that Zechariah used here symbolizes his understanding of the coming child as a strong king. And there are others that I could go on to name who presented a variety of gifts at that first Christmas. Ones like Simeon and Anna as the baby was presented at the temple. But of course, God the Father gave the greatest of all gifts, his only begotten Son. He gave the gift that cannot be fully described with words, cannot be duplicated. And so it is in God's great plan that gifts are given at the time of celebration of his son's birthday. Well, what should we give as Christmas gifts as gifts that we want to present to God. You see, I'm privileged to have the pulpit for now, so allow me to make some suggestions, if you will. But these actually are not mine. These are from God's holy word that gives us direction to gifts that we can be confident in presenting to Jesus and to his followers. So let's start with the giving of love. A Pharisee asked Jesus a question to test him, of course, and Jesus was there with his answer. His answer was to give him the knowledge that he was to give the gift of love. The Pharisee's question in Matthew 22, "Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest?" And the answer from Jesus, his suggestion of the greatest gift and any others could give, which would be the following of this command: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first command." So let's take Jesus at his word. Love the Lord God. In all that we say, let's offer up first, before anything else, that all is done completely within the gift of our love, offered fully up to God. "I want to do this. I'm doing this, Father, because I'm giving this to you as love." Family considerations are so important, but you know, God comes before family. Amen. Matthew 10:37 tells us the love of family over God is not worthy of belonging to God. Matthew 10:37 says, "The person who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The person who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." He comes before family. He comes before things. Matthew 6, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be provided." They come after you seek God and his kingdom and give him your love. But you know, Jesus' words did not end with the admonition to give your gift of love to God. He continued on to say, "The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Give the gift of your love to others, to your neighbors, as a gift to God. 1 John 4:20 and 21 affirms how loving God and loving your neighbor go hand in hand. It says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For the person who does not love his brother, he has seen, cannot love the God he has not seen. And we have this command from him: the one who loves God must also love his brother." So love, that's a great gift. The second gift that we're actually compelled to give is forgiveness. In the model prayer in Matthew 6, Jesus instructed us to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." To forgive means to pardon, to cease to feel resentment against, to dismiss. And so when God forgives us, he considers the debt paid. He considers it gone. He no longer holds it to our account. And reconciliation is possible, and then it's done. And so as we also have forgiven, which was part of the prayer, means that we have given the gift of forgiveness. Unforgiven sins or debts cause strife and bitterness and jealousy. And it's interesting to note that Jesus, knowing the heart of people, felt constrained after he had given the model prayer to go on further to explain this part of the Lord's Prayer. He said after the model, this is in verses 14 and 15, and the prayer ends in verse, I believe it's 12 or 13. He said, "For if you forgive people their wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive your wrongdoing. So forgiveness is a characteristic of one who is a member of God's kingdom. It requires great effort to be forgiving. You know what it required of God? It required his only son to be forgiving. It cost God his son to forgive us. And we who have far less cost than God had, we should be forgiving too. Another gift we can give is a good example. Simon Peter called for us to follow the example set by Jesus, by Christ. He says, Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you can follow in his steps. We then, seeing Jesus give us the gift of the example of himself for us, we ought to also give the example of Christ-likeness as a gift to all others and as a gift to God. And Paul admonished Timothy to live life as an example to others, a great gift to all believers. Let no one despise your youth, he said. Instead, you should be an example to the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. You see, the word example means a pattern or a model. As Paul indicates here to Timothy, you shouldn't wait until you're older to start giving the gift of your good example. You're to do this from your very youth. Not only when you get old like me, or Bobby back there, you don't wait that long. But start giving that gift from even when you're a youth, like Marlene down here. An especially great gift for you to give? Well, let's give the gift of the gospel to hungry souls. The gospel, you know, is the good news of Jesus Christ. And what finer gift could you give than the whole package of the good news? The whole package, the whole gift includes his coming, his exemplary life, his death, and his resurrection. And the Apostle Paul presented this gift to the Corinthians in this way, 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers, I want to make known for you the gospel I proclaim to you. You received it and have taken your stand on it. You're also saved by it if you hold to the message I proclaim to you, unless you believed in vain. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And he goes on from there. And we too are to give that life-saving gift of the gospel to others. Now, I have to say sadly, here is where we find ourselves in our world today. We are so similar to the world of that old prophet Amos. Listen to what he wrote. Hear this. The days are coming. This is the declaration of the Lord God, when I will send a famine throughout the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. The people will stagger from sea to sea and roam from north to Rome, from north to east, seeking the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. You see, there is no one who's a true follower of Christ who would deny that there is indeed even now a famine, a hunger in America, a famine across the world, not for bread or water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And so men and women and boys and girls are hungry to hear what could be the best news ever, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we Christians have that gift of the gospel. We have that gift of the good news to give to them, to slake that hunger, to fill them up. Let's do it. Let's follow the example of the angel of the Lord whose gift was to announce the birth of Christ to the shepherds. He said, do not be afraid, but look, I proclaim to you the good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Savior, who is Messiah the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. Now, Christmas is right around the corner. And giving the gift of announcing the birth of Christ as the great gift of Christmas is ours to give. The gospel of the lost of our day, to the lost of our day, in all of our giving this Christmas. Let's give the gift that will last for all of eternity, the good news for salvation, the good news for eternal life. God gave such a gift to us when Christ came. Now, in our day and time, it's almost difficult for us to believe this, but some of you perhaps are old enough, I mean, not very many old people here, but some of you may be old enough to remember this, or maybe you saw this. It came out of Chicago. I'm not sure how much good comes out of our big city, Chicago, these days, but that wasn't always the case, because would you believe that for some years, for some several years, back when on each Christmas Eve edition, the Chicago Daily News printed on its front page a stylized cartoon by the Nobel Prize winner Vaughn Shoemaker. It was printed on Christmas Eve on the front page, the Chicago Daily News. Beneath a beautifully decorated Christmas tree, it showed an unopened package labeled Eternal Life. And the title of the cartoon was The Untaken Gift. And unlike what happens anymore today, John 3:16 was printed right there on a public newspaper. It was quoted in the cartoon, right there in print. God gave us that gift. Too many do not take it out from under the tree, and could it be that we're just not reaching under that tree, withdrawing that gift and presenting it as God's gift to someone in need? God did. God does. God continues to give Christ to the world. And you know, the final chapter of God's book, the Revelation, Revelation 22, 17, the final chapter of the book of Revelation, the final book of the Bible, offers the completion of the gift to all who will receive it. Revelation 22, 17, the one who is thirsty should come. Whoever desires should take the living water as a gift.